Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We are in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. Matthew 6, 24 to 34, but our text for this morning, that's the basis for our study in Matthew 6, but Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34, we're studying about anxiety or worry, as it is translated in English. But in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is ministering to religious Jews that the external practice of religion means nothing. It's the internal ministry of God's Spirit. It's the internal interaction with the Spirit of the living God that counts in a person's life. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus introduced three important points. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus says, "You cannot serve two masters." The terms "cannot" has to do with capacity. What Jesus is saying is, every human being has been created with the capacity to only serve one master. Not believe, but serve. Either you will serve God or you'll serve Mammona, the earthly realm, the physical realm in which we live. So with that in mind, that the human being has only been created with the capacity to serve one master, he says in Matthew 6, verse 25, "Therefore take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or drink or what you shall put on." The word "thought" is the word that we're studying in this series, merimna. And it means to occupy the attention of the mind. Not occupy the mind, but occupy the attention of the mind. What Jesus is saying, that since the human being only has the capacity to serve one master, we are serving whatever our mind is occupied with. So therefore, he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, in light of this, since you only have the capacity to seek and to serve one thing, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else that you worry about or care about will be added to you. In other words, the Lord is saying, give me your total focus and attention, and I'll take care of whatever you need. You don't have to worry about it. So we went off into 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 9, to show that merimna is Satan's only weapon against a believer in Christ. His only weapon. We saw in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that Satan walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He scouts people to see what their weaknesses are, what he can get them occupied with. And that's why Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, to cast all of your anxieties, cast all of your cares upon the Lord, because Satan is going to use that to direct your attention and draw your attention away from Christ. since you only have the capacity to focus on and serve one thing. So last week we took the parable of the sower to study how Satan uses Merimnah to influence and occupy the believer. In Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 18, in the parable of the sower, how the sower goes out and sows or plants seed in four different kinds of soil. And one of the kinds of soil was that the seed fell in amongst the thorn bushes. And as the seed, which he said represents the word of God, as the seed began to grow and its influence began to grow in that plot of land, the thorn bushes choked it out. That is, choked out the influence of the word. And Jesus said, here's what this means. The seed being the word of God, the thorn bushes represent the cares or anxieties and the wealth and the pleasures of life. And these things come along and choke out the influence of the word in a person's life. And the word cares or anxiety is this word Merimnah. Satan takes the cares and the events of life, as Jesus mentioned, even some of the basics, food and clothing and housing. We get concerned about it. We get worried about it. We get occupied with it. And we get taken away. Our attention gets taken away from Christ. And we think, and it's because of our lack of understanding, we think that if we hold the proper beliefs about what the Bible says and who Jesus is, we're fine. But Jesus is not dealing with beliefs. Peter's not dealing with beliefs. They're dealing with service. Who and what are you serving? You can believe the truth, but be enslaved to the things that you're occupied with. And therefore, your mind is taken away from Christ. Now, why is that important? Because after you're saved, Satan cannot take Christ out of your heart. He cannot take salvation away from you. He cannot remove your salvation. After you're saved, what is the Christian to do? It is a complete lifestyle of having our minds transformed by the ministry of God's Spirit through His Word. The transformation of the mind. So if Satan can occupy the attention of our minds and take our minds away from the ministry of God's Spirit through His Word, he hasn't taken away our salvation. He has taken away our therapy. He's taken away our healing. He's taken away our spiritual growth. And basically, Satan is saying, I've lost you to Christ as far as the salvation of your soul goes, but I can spend the rest of your life making an effort to keep you from growing and keep you from being healed from the damage of sin by getting you so occupied with the physical life in which you live. So today in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, what a surprise. What a surprise. You say, well, what is the surprise? I'm glad you asked me. The surprise is that in Luke 10, 38 to 42, Luke presents the teaching of Jesus how service to Christ can be a distraction. That doesn't sound right, does it? How service to Christ can be a distraction. Do you know that Satan can use Christian service to occupy our time and attention and take us away from the top priority in life, and that is hearing the Word of God? Over all the years that I've been in churches and in ministry, I've seen this over and over again. Do you know, other than just totally avoiding anything to do with the Bible or Christianity, that there's one place that you can go to get away from the Word of God? And that's church. because all you need to do is go there and then volunteer for all the work that needs to be done. I even knew of a woman, and I've heard other testimonies over the years, but I know of one woman's testimony where she said she went to church and she volunteered to be a Sunday school teacher for little children. She did not want to participate in the church service. She did not want to hear the sermon, but she did volunteer to minister Bible stories to little children in Sunday school. And she did it for years. And one Sunday, some people, as a gift to her without her knowing it, said, "We have found someone that will relieve you in Sunday school so you can sit in church and take the Sunday off." So she sat in church for the first time in years, because she was back there with the kids. She said when she heard the sermon, she was so convicted and knew at the moment, that moment, that she was not saved. She had not received Christ. And at that service, she got saved. She received Christ and was saved. Christ saved her. And her testimony was how she, and she knows of others, that'll go and that's their justification. That's how they get out of facing the fact that they've never received Christ, they've never been born again, is go to church and find work to do, ways to serve. And of course, church today is always into putting people to work. Service to Christ, they say, is the most important thing. But our text tells us that's not true. Look at what this text says. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 39, and the title of the section is The Priority of Life. The Priority of Life. And there are three things under the circumstances in verses 38 and 39. Three things. First of all, now it happened that while they were going along, that he himself, that is Jesus, entered into a certain village. First of all, location. Where is this village? John chapter 12, verse 2, verses 1 and 2, tells us that the name of the village is Bethany. It's the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, their brother. So Lazarus, who was raised from the dead in the Gospel of John, Lazarus was their brother. And before Jesus entered into Jerusalem in John chapter 12, as it's recorded there, before he entered into Jerusalem to die on the cross, he had dinner at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' home there in Bethany. So first of all, location of our teaching, that Jesus entered into a certain village, that would be Bethany. Secondly, the position of Martha, we're introduced to her, and a certain woman, Martha by name, received him into her house. The position of Martha in the family structure. The owners of the home, and especially the older women, whoever the oldest woman is in the household, she's the one who greeted visitors. So Martha was the older sister and quite possibly the owner of the home. So she's responsible for receiving guests. So Martha received Jesus into her home. Why is that important to understand her position? Is because she is in charge not only of greeting the visitors, but she's in charge of making sure that when the visitors come in the home, that they're fed and taken care of and they're greeted properly. She's now in charge of taking care of everybody in that home and making sure. Here you have Jesus come in your home. Martha's in the position of being responsible to make sure her guests are taken care of. So we had the location as Bethany, the village, and we saw the position of Martha, that she is in charge of the running of the household and the responsibilities there. Thirdly, the reputation of Mary. Look in verse 39. And to this one, that is to Martha, was a sister being called Mary. Some Greek texts use the Greek word Mariam. That's her Jewish name. She's not Mary to the Jews. It's Mariam, even Mary and Joseph. Mary, the mother of Jesus. She's called Mariam to the Jews. So Mary, or Mariam, that's her name, who, when she sat alongside of the feet of Jesus, she was hearing his word. So whenever she sat at the feet of Jesus. She wasn't way in the back or over in the corner. She made sure that she was right up front, right alongside of the feet of Jesus whenever he sat and taught. But I want you to notice what her reputation is. Notice the phrases, she was hearing the word. The term was hearing is what is called the imperfect tense, which means continuous action in the past. It means that her continuous habit of life was continually hearing his word. So here we have the circumstances. The location's in Bethany, the position of Martha, she's the head of the household, she's responsible to make sure that everybody's taken care of. And thirdly, we know the reputation of Mary, that she was continually sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word. And now we have the conflict in verses 40 and 41. Three things about the conflict. But Martha was distracted. King James says, but Martha was cumbered. I like that word. And it literally means to be distracted. So first of all, of the three things on the conflict, we want to understand the distraction of Martha. Remember, she's the head of the household. She's running around making sure everybody's taken care of. She doesn't have time to sit down and visit and socialize. And if Jesus is teaching, she doesn't have time. She's got things to do to take care of the guests. All normal. Nothing wrong with it. But the distraction of Martha. But Martha was cumbered, that is, distracted concerning much serving. Of these two words, the word cumbered means distraction. Literally in the Greek, it means to pull or drag somebody away. It's a fishing term that means once the fish are caught up in the net and they're trapped, you drag the net and pull them out of the water. Something has captured her and has dragged her away from the importance of the situation. And the word serve, serving. She was distracted with much serving. It's the word diakonos, where we get our word deacon from. It doesn't mean she was a deaconess or that she was a deacon, but she was serving in an official capacity in service to Christ. The Lord's here, like you would act or I would act if the Lord came into our homes. What can I get you to drink? You greet him at the door. You wash their feet. You make sure they're all taken care of. You need something to eat. Here, sit here. Are you comfortable? Hospitable. So it tells us in the conflict of the situation that Martha was distracted with much serving. And then the interaction of Martha with Jesus. Remember, Jesus is in the living room with a crowd of people of the community, and they're all sitting there and they're listening to her, and Mary, her sister, is at his feet listening to his word like she always does, which just drove Martha right up the wall. She's always listening to Jesus when there's things to be done around here. Especially in the Lord's here. Good grief. Can't you stop just once and help me out? Look what she says. The second thing, the interaction with Jesus. And having stood over him, Interesting. That's how the line starts in verse 40, after she was distracted concerning much serving and having stood over him, meaning she came out of the kitchen and Jesus is teaching and she comes in and stands right over Jesus. And she says to him, she said, "Lord, is it not a concern to you that my sister left me alone to serve?" And as I've said over the years, you can get the picture with the pun. Martha was in the kitchen stewing. And this thing's building up. "Yeah, I'd like to be in there too, but you know, we got to take care of things. And my sister's in there sitting at the feet of Jesus." So she's finally had it. So she's going to appeal to Christ. I guess she wants Jesus to look down at Mary and say, "Mary, you know, your sister needs some help out in the kitchen. You know, you can get a tape. You can get it online. You don't need to be here in person. Why don't you go help serve?" That's what she wants. "Is it not a concern to you that my sister has left me alone to serve?" Now the word care, "do you not care? Is it not a concern to you?" in the Greek is the word mele, which genuine concern. Do you not have, she's questioning him, don't you have a genuine concern for me out there in the kitchen? Serving alone? Now the reason why she's stuck in this position is somebody has to do it. Who's going to feed all these people? Who's going to take care of all these people? Apparently, he nodded his head yes when she says, "Is it not a concern to you that my sister has left me alone to serve?" Apparently, he nodded his head yes, he is concerned, because she says, "Therefore, speak to her in order that she might help me." So Jesus affirmed his concern that she's out there serving alone and his concern to help her, but he wasn't interested in helping give her help for her service. He was more concerned about Martha coming out to be with Mary than he was for Mary to go in and be with Martha. So the evaluation of Jesus is the third thing. We've had the distraction of Martha. We've had her interaction with Jesus. And then the evaluation of Jesus in the situation in verse 41. And when he answered, Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha." Repeated it twice to get her attention because she's all caught up in being left in the kitchen to serve alone. "Martha, Martha," he's directing her attention to him. "You are careful," literally, "you are anxious," there's our word, "and you are troubled concerning many things." Now, before we get to the cure, the answer to all this, let me break this down for you because this is tremendous material here. Even psychology uses the principles that are found here to explain the stages of anxiety. You are careful. Your mind is occupied, marimna, and you are troubled, turbazo. Let me explain these two words. We already know what marimna means. It means to occupy the attention of the mind. In psychological terms, we have the first and third of the three important words to understand the stages of anxiety for the mind. The first word is occupied. She got occupied with serving alone in the kitchen. She noticed it. The second important word is our word back in verse 40 for the word distracted or cumbered. That's the second word. So your mind gets occupied with something, and whatever it is you're occupied with puts the net around your mind and drags you away. In other words, what you're occupied with snowballs on you. It's not just a thought anymore. It's taking you over in your thought processes. And then the third word is this word turbazo. Turbazo means to outwardly express your inward thoughts. To outwardly express. In other words, it's gotten to a point, it's not just a thought. I can see you walking down the street someday and I have this concern and care on my mind, but it's not really taking me captive yet. I'm not really enslaved to it, so that when I see you, I can greet you on the street and you'd never know that I've got this in the back of my mind. I've been thinking about this thing all night and I've been thinking about it all morning. When I see you, I kind of put it away and I greet you, but you don't know that something is working its way up in my mind. Maybe if you saw me the next day and you came up and said, "Hey, Bill, how's it going?" "Ah, not too good." Outwardly. Also, all of a sudden it's gotten to me so bad that I show it and express it in my human expressions and reactions. You can see it with Martha. She was in the kitchen. She began to notice she's doing this alone. She's thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. Pretty soon it has her captive like a fishing net around the fish, and it's dragging her away and it's snowballing on her. It's taken over her whole life to the point that she's got to put the pans down on the stove and walk in and stand over Jesus. "Do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve?" See, that's the outward expression, the frustration. It finally got to her, to where she had to outwardly express the very thing that had taken over her mind, her thinking. So the three stages of the psychological steps of anxiety are right here. This is where they got it from. Merimnah, the occupation of the attention of the mind, and this snowballs. We meditate on it, and we think about it, and we worry about it, and it just gets so big that it takes us captive. We become enslaved to it, and it becomes the expression of our life. People see us walking down the street. "Whoa, what's wrong with Bill? Look at him. He's all worked up about something." Now, in Jesus addressing Martha, he did not say to her that she was unfaithful in her service to the Lord. He didn't say, "Martha, you're just unfaithful. You need to learn how to serve alone, get over it, and do it faithfully." He didn't say that. What he told her was, "You are distracted in your service to the Lord." That would be almost blasphemous if you were to say it in some churches or Christian circles today. "Do you know that you're being distracted by serving the Lord?" What? Churches are trying to put people to work. All Martha was doing would be normal responsibilities that you can imagine and sympathize with her. But Jesus is pointing out something to her, as he will show in the cure. Look at verse 42. The cure, two things about the cure. Remember, he said to her, "You are anxious and troubled concerning many things." A lot of things on your mind, and it's captivating you, and you're enslaved to it, and now it's gotten to you so bad that now you're coming in and you're expressing your frustration all over me in front of everybody. J. Jesus said, verse 42, this is the literal translation, but of one thing there is need. Did you catch that? Only one thing that is necessary. One. One thing that is of need. And Mary chose the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Two things. First of all, the correction by Jesus. The correction by Jesus. There's only one thing that is needful. One. In your whole Christian life, if you remember anything from our time together, remember that Jesus said, you only have one need in life. And if you're like me, and if you're like Martha, and we're all the same, you say, well, I have a major need, but I also have other needs. Jesus said, no, you only have one. Well, I need to eat to stay alive. No, you don't, because if you die, you go to be with Christ. You don't need to eat. You don't need to stay alive. You don't need anything except one thing. That's it, just one. But of one thing, there is a need. The correction by Jesus. Now listen to this. Listen carefully. Receiving from the Lord's Spirit, ministering through God's Word, is not top priority. How do you like that one? Listening to God's Spirit minister through His Word is not the top priority in the believer's life. It is the only priority. It's not top priority. It's the only one. I've heard people say, well, receiving from God's Spirit through His Word is the top priority. And then secondly, there's worship and singing. And thirdly, there's prayer. And fourthly, there's service. No, there is no two, three, and four. There's only one. Just like in Exodus chapter 20, when God says, you shall have no other gods beside me. That's not Him in priority, and I saw it this week on the internet. Somebody quoted that verse and says, well, remember, this is the reason for the season. Remember to keep God first, your spouse second, your children third, and fourth, your friends, the list. That's not what, no, you have no other gods besides me. In other words, there's number one God, that's it. There's nobody else. He's all. He's it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. How do you give Him all? You got left over for somebody else? No. So what does everybody else get? God. They get God from you because you've given yourself to God. You don't know how interesting it is that if you attempt to make the Lord Jesus Christ your whole life, and people come into association with you and they say, I can't have a friendship with you because you belong to Jesus Christ. You're all His. And what's wrong with that? Well, can't you take time out from that and come over here and do my thing too? No. Do you want me and Jesus or no? What is it? That's what you get. I can't take time out from Him for you. I mean, you got to take us both together. It is the only priority. Serving Christ can be a distraction. Why? Because it can take you away from the hearing of the Word of God and justify your busyness by saying, I'm serving Christ. But what about the Word of God? Yeah, I hear it every once in a while. It is interesting that Luke is presenting here. He's not presenting the dangers of being caught up with and occupied with the things of the world, like in the parable of the sower. He's talking about being caught up in and occupied in serving Christ, and you don't hear His Word. and it's taking you away. You see, service to Christ is an outflow. It's a result of hearing the word. It comes automatically. It's an outpouring of one's relationship with Christ from hearing the word of God. It doesn't take its place. You don't have to work at it. And then he says, secondly, notice the portion of Mary. We saw the correction by Jesus, and now the portion of Mary. It says, Mary chose the good portion. The word good is the word agathos, which in the Greek text denotes spiritual good. And the word portion has to do with food terms. We're dealing with food here. So Jesus puts it in context. He says, Martha, you're in the kitchen caught up with making physical food when Mary is in here eating spiritual food. She has chosen the good portion of the meal. And everything that she's getting will never be taken away from her. It'll always be a part of her life, not only now, but throughout eternity. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, you remember when Satan came to Jesus and tempted Jesus because Jesus went 40 days in the wilderness without eating, and so he was hungry, and so Satan came and said, since you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread, satisfy your hunger. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, and says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He says, feeding my hungry body is not priority. I will not misuse my authority and change stones into bread just to satisfy my physical hunger. But the truth of the word of God is my food. In Job chapter 23, verse 12, one of my favorite verses, Job 23, verse 12, where Job says, I esteem the words that flow out of the mouth of God more than my necessary food. Whoa. You know how many times people have told me, yeah, I couldn't make it to the study because I had to eat. Why didn't you just wait an hour? I can't do that because, you know, I get hungry. Hungry for what? There's only one need. Everything else has a natural flow out from that. One need, one focus that a believer is to be occupied with, and that's by the receiving from the ministry of God's Spirit through His Word. That's it, period. There's no other need. God takes care of all the other needs. God's Spirit takes care of the worship and the prayer and the service to Christ. As a natural flow, from not the top priority, but the only priority in the believer's life. Hearing, not just hearing the word, but receiving the ministry of God's Spirit through His word. Not all Bible studies, not all scriptural sermon presentations is the word of God. It doesn't mean sit and listen to sermons and Bible study. It's receiving the ministry of God's Spirit through His word. That's the food for the believer. And Satan can get us occupied with even serving Christ being a distraction to take us away from our food in Christ. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, and we pray that your Spirit would enlighten us and minister to us and show us the truth you're attempting to minister. We only have the capacity to be focused on and occupied with one thing at a time. We only have the capacity to serve one master. And Satan attempts to get us occupied and take us away from the Word of God. But help us to see our one and only need is to sit at the feet of Jesus and receive from Him as He speaks His Word. We pray by Your Spirit You would help us to understand these things and to see clearly how even, not just from the world, but even in church, and church work, and church service, and even what is called Christian fellowship can actually be a distraction from the necessity of receiving from God's Spirit through His Word to feed the soul. Help us to understand these things, that even the emergencies and necessities of life can take us away from the Word of God. Help us to see the trap and help us to see the danger, that we might respond in obedience to Your Spirit. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.